Welcome to a burning fire, Jeremiah 20 and verse 9. Your speaker is Jim Boyd. There are those, both in and out of the church, that do not consider what we're going to be talking about to be an important subject. But we insist it is important because the scriptures make it important. And we are sorry that many professed Christians have adopted the sinful ways of the world to the extent that sound teaching regarding this subject is no longer welcomed by them and their dancing partners. I want to talk about the modern dance and the Christian. 1 Corinthians 10 and verse 31 makes it important. Whether therefore ye eat or drink or whatsoever ye do, do all to the glory of God. Friend, it matters what a person does. It matters whether he does bring glory to God or not. While we realize that questioning the practice of dancing is not the pathway to popularity, not in this depraved society, we could care less about what is the path to popularity. We care more about what is the path that God would have us to walk. Now, we're not concerned about dancing of the kind of which we read in Exodus 15, done by women in the day of rejoicing over the deliverance from bondage. We're not talking about the individual dance of David in 2 Samuel chapter 6, in his day of rejoicing over the Ark of the Covenant entering the city of Jerusalem. We're talking about dancing that is based on sexual appeal, sexual emotions, and men with women. The modern practice of the gyrations of the body in sensual fashion, practiced in the ballrooms, the discos, even the high school proms, the television exposures, the sensual bodily movements sucked to music, even exhibited at parties and homes of people, some of whom even call themselves Christians. The most charitable, lenient, and favorable thing that can be said for the modern dance is that it is highly questionable conduct for a Christian. The very fact that many ask, "Is there any harm in it?" is an admission that it is a doubtful practice. Romans 14:23 forbids doing that which cannot be done with good conscience. And while there be many who care little what is right or wrong or what God teaches regarding this theme, there are many others who have their consciences seared by their desires to imitate the world. Possibly there are some who can be reached with the truth because they still have some question in their minds regarding its propriety for the child of God, even though some who have these doubts still go ahead and dance. This dancing is characteristic of those who are wicked and defiant toward God. Job chapter 21, "They send forth their little ones like a flock, and their children dance. They take the timbrel and harp, and rejoice at the sound of the organ. They spend their days in wealth, and in a moment go down to the grave. Therefore they say unto God, Depart from us, for we desire not the knowledge of thy ways. What is the Almighty that we should serve Him? And what profit should we have if we pray unto Him?" Dear friend, when we dance, we leave the same impression on others about our attitude toward God as is expressed here in Job chapter 21. Sometimes a person can discover the way they are going by taking a good look at the crowd with whom they are traveling. Matthew chapter 7, "Even so, every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. Wherefore, by their fruits ye shall know them." May I ask, what is the fruit of the modern dance? Who will be honest enough with open mind to inquire fairly in answer to this question? While likely the social butterflies and the aspirants of worldly acclaim probably will not honestly consider the question, hopefully, someone who hears these words and pays attention to the Word of God will bring it to the attention of both young and old. The modern dance creates evil desires, desires that cannot be satisfied morally and legitimately outside of marriage. It creates lust and impure passions. It condones the unchaste handling of bodies of those of the opposite sex. It is often as associated with immodest attire, and certainly lascivious movements of the body. It is very often the prelude to overt sexual immorality and fornication and adultery. It has been described as the initiation course and training for prostitution. It provokes jealousy and marital strife and leads to divorce. How can anybody who says they are Christians fellowship such evil works of darkness in spite of the Lord's prohibitions, Ephesians 5 and verse 11? Worldliness refers to the sinful things of this world. 1 Thessalonians 5 verse 22 reads, "Abstain from all appearance of evil." 1 John 2 and verse 15 forbids the love of this world. Romans 12 teaches the Christian not to conform to the ways of this world. James 1 warns of being stained and spotted with the world. Many who say they are Christians need to ask if these passages really have any meaning to them. How can a person who ignores these things be honest with the divine admonitions? How can they ignore their applications? How can so-called Christian young people and their parents read these words of God, and even leaders of the church read them, and go ahead and condone the modern dance? Have they no sensitivity to the truth whatsoever? Dancing is wrong because it is lasciviousness. Lascivious means that which provokes lewd emotions and actions and impure thoughts. And friend, that is where the basic appeal to the modern dance is. The sexual impulse illicitly provoked and immorally satisfied. Galatians chapter 5, beginning with verse 19, teaches that lasciviousness is serious enough to keep one out of God's kingdom. 2 Timothy 2 and verse 22 urges, "Flee youthful lust." Now, how does one justify calling himself or herself a child of God, having been taught these truths, but then engaging in the very thing that provokes lust and immorality? Titus chapter 2, 11 and 12 says that the Christian is to deny ungodliness and worldly lust, and to live soberly and righteously and godly in this world. Can one read these words from the inspired pens and have no concern about doing the very things that defy these teachings? Evidently some can, because this is what they do. But are they acceptable to God in it? Friend, there is no person alive or dead that can fit the modern dance into the characteristics that are to belong to the Christian. Dancing encourages immodesty in dress and in manners. Those who make their living by dancing admit that the greater the modesty of the dancer, the poorer the dancer. To be a good partner in the dance, one must be as surrendered to their partner as they can be. There must be a personal abandonment of restraint. The movements, the positions, the steps, the entwining of the bodies, even the attire that is worn, is best when it is sexually suggestive. As one tosses himself or his partner about, the indecent exposure of the body is obvious to every onlooker and dancer. If such is not vulgar, please tell me what sort of movements and positions could be called vulgar. Does vulgar have any meaning to the modern dancer? Reveling and lasciviousness are sins, and dancing is both of them. The sex drive is one of the strongest drives in the human body and strongest in youth, those most given to modern dancing. The sex drive is not evil of itself. God gave the human such desires, and rightly understood and rightly used, and they can be satisfied in marriage. They are holy, pure, and proper. God provided marriage for the moral satisfaction of these drives, the intimate relationship of husband and wife. The arousal and provocation of such emotions when they cannot be morally satisfied is sinful. How can a Christian simply harden his heart and close his eyes to these realities? And how can parents and even church leaders, elders and preachers, be complacent in the face of such things in this conflict between the modern dance and the will of Christ? And how can husbands and wives ignore this element of the dance and say they follow Christ? The liberties permitted on the dance floor would not be tolerated elsewhere. A man embracing and twisting around the body of his neighbor's wife would cause real problems until it set the music. Then somehow it becomes an acceptable sport. The entwining of the limbs, the bodily contact, the handling of the body, but set the music, is considered proper by some people. But you remove the music, and it may well cause a fight. The modern dance is the fine art of covering with music the indelicate, the immodest, and the indecent attitudes and postures between men and women. If these things did not exist in the dance would find no appeal. Certainly dancing leads one into temptation. Why, it's designed and intended to provoke temptation. Can a Christian sincerely pray not to be led into temptation and then attend the dance where the prime action is for that very purpose? Dancing ruins the Christian's influence as a Christian. It enhances his reputation as a hypocrite. It places a stumbling block before others. There is not the first righteous and pure thing that can be said for it. And while those who create and design the dances readily admit the sexual appeal of it, now and then you find some simple-minded parrot or some worldly-minded youth who would like to deny it. Some offer the lame excuse, trying to make this sin an acceptable one. They call it recreation. Friend, they do not know the difference between recreation and dissipation of the body and the spirit. One can find recreation that is not stained with impurities. Those who dance are not primarily interested in it because of recreation, and they are lying and deceiving nobody, probably not even themselves. Oh, some say it's better for the youth to be on the dance floor than in a parked car. Friend, is this the only choice young people have? Some say it'll be all right if it's chaperoned. Friend, how do you chaperone sin and make it righteous? Who chaperones after the dance is over and the emotions already aroused? Can you chaperone the mind of another? Such tripe is unworthy of intelligent people to offer as an excuse for what they want to do, regardless of the will of God. But now and then, you hear someone say that dancing does not affect them sexually. Well, if it does not, then they're not getting from the dance what is intended to be derived from the dance. It may be true that the very young, whose sexual sensitivities are not mature enough as yet, but who are pushed into the activity by peers or fool parents, with those who are older, they're most likely lying, or they're not all male and all female. You restrict dancing to all male partners or all female partners among those who are normal, and you'll see how successful is your party. It'll be a flop unless you're entertaining a group of perverts. Furthermore, even if you are not affected, can you be so sure your partner is not? Have we not responsibility toward others? With normal people, such is a simply not the case. It is an excuse not to be believed. The truth is that dancing provokes within people the very thing that some would deny, but who are determined to continue practicing it, God's will notwithstanding. But you let a gospel preacher preach God's truth on the subject, as I am doing now. Or let some true Christian oppose the modern dance, and some wiggling creep will accuse him of being dirty-minded. This is an accusation sometimes made by those of dishonest mind, who themselves care not for the truth, but only their own appetites. But are we to believe that the most loyal, sacrificial, truly pious and righteous, biblically informed, dedicated Christians are the only ones who are dirty-minded people, while the dancer and his twisting partners are the pure ones, wholesome and worthy in imitation? Who can believe such nonsense as produced by the defenders of sin, the modern dance? I have even been told by leaders of the church that the modern dance is all right because there was dancing at the return of the prodigal son. Have such defenders of the dance no shame whatsoever? Such excuses on the behalf of the dance are never made by the professional dancers, nor the choreographers or the dance designers. They readily admit the truth of its basic nature and its sexual appeal. They do not deny the charges against it. Many prostitutes readily admit that they were led toward their way of life by the modern dance. They do not deny its appeal. Some rather approve of the charges against it because this shows their being successful in what they intend to accomplish by the dance. Just listen to the songs, the lyrics. Observe the actions and see if you think this is the kind of conduct that brings glory to God. See if you can honestly think this is what Jesus approves. The worldly church member is the major defender of the modern dance against the accusation that it is sinful. Many church members are misguided and untaught and spiritually weak, and some are just hard-headed and stubborn and ambitious to be accepted by the world at all costs. Their passion for popularity has crowded out their professed loyalty to Christ. The alien sinner is not fooled by the excuses offered by the so-called dancing Christians. Neither are faithful Christians fooled by it. And most important at all, God is not fooled either. Christians should not participate in the dance, should not attend the dance, should have nothing to do with the promotion of the dance, because dancing is sinful. The dancing foot is not attached to a praying knee. The two activities are incompatible in the same life. We wonder what has happened to the leadership of the church, which has evidently caved to the demands of the sinful members who dance. Where are the preachers, these weak, powder-puff cowards who are more insipid clergymen than gospel preachers? I'll tell you where they are. They are occupying many of the pulpits of churches that once stood for truth, but have become so permissive, so liberal, so arrogant, so conceited, that truth is no longer their major. They prefer being paid their salaries, not for what they preach, but what they won't preach. We appeal on the basis of the revealed will of God, the Bible, for brethren to once again refrain from such practices and become the advocates of righteousness by opposing the modern dance, especially among us. Surely, example and influence and thought and action should mean more to the Christian than to allow himself or herself to be carried along by the world. And if we really care for the truth and for our souls and for the souls of others, dancing will not be a part of our lives. This has been A Burning Fire, and your speaker is Jim Boyd. Until next time.